Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast hosted by two very merry gays. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. And if you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. And here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. And this week is our last episode.
Oh, Ellie's going to cry right off the top. It's going to be rough.
Don't worry, we'll be back in the fall. It is just our last episode of this season. We will miss you all, but make sure you follow us on social media so you can see all of the fun things we have planned for the summer, because we will be doing some more trivia nights.
Just endless trivia.
Endless.
This is our year for trivia. I know. We have a lot of trivia coming up. We are kicking off our summer trivia spread with July 9th. We are going to be having some Motherland Fort Salem trivia, so keep an eye out for that, because I don't know if you've heard, but we're kind of big fans
of Motherland. Slightly.
It's okay. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's great. It's pretty awesome.
It's amazing. July 30th, we're going to have another Buffy trivia, so you know you don't want to miss that one.
And if you don't want to miss Buffy trivia, you most definitely don't want to miss August 13th, another round of Schitt's Creek trivia. That's right.
And August 27th, we will be having She-Ra trivia. I am on episode 2 of season 5, so things have really escalated.
You got a little time left.
Yes.
A little bit.
I will finish by August. Probably finish by tomorrow, to be honest.
And I know you're all as heartbroken as we are that this is our last episode of this season. We're going to be on hiatus for a bit. But we do also want to say, for once, this is not a summer where I or my wife are having a baby.
What?
I know. Surprising for all of us, really. No new babies this summer. So Ellie and I will be busy. We'll be working on some other secret projects that we have going on that we cannot wait to tell you all about when there is some new news. But I just want to plant that little seed in everyone's mind that we got some stuff cooking. You know us. We can't stop, won't stop. We've got some projects. We're busy. We've got things.
It's just rude of you to tease it and not tell anyone.
I am. I'm being so
rude
right now.
People are going to be spending their entire summer like, what in the world could they be doing? And then they're going to tweet at us and they're going to say, Ellie and Lee, I know exactly what you're doing because this is what you would do. Think, listeners, here's my hint. What would Ellie and Lee do? That's what we're doing.
How about this? I'll give them one more big hint, okay? What would we do that is a project currently that is going to be spearheaded by myself, Ellie, and our good friend, Valerie Rose Lohman?
That's your only
there
hint.
There you go. That's your hint. So think about it. Send us your ideas on what we're cooking up over here.
Please guess. I want you to guess. There is another new project that I'm working on that I can tell you all about while you're waiting to hear what Lee and I have up our sleeves, and that is an 8-episode miniseries all about Sappho, the OG lesbian from the Isle of Lesbos. I am so excited about this show. If you're a fan of Sappho, or even if you've never heard of Sappho, which please take a listen to the podcast because we will enlighten you as to why Sappho is iconic. I would love it if you would tune in. Also, follow us on our socials at Sweet Bitter Pod. We are investigating the life and controversy surrounding Sappho. Some people say she wasn't actually a lesbian at all, and she just wrote erotic poems about women for fun. So it's the should have been gay of of Greek and Roman times. So if you want to check it out, we have some really cool interviews with Diane Rayer, who's one of the best Sappho translators out there, and also Tracy Walters, who talked to us about Sappho and Greek mythology through the lens of African-American culture. She even talked to us about how one of the characters from The Color Purple is based on Sappho. So we're trying to get as many perspectives as we can on this real-life person, but the legend that has become Sappho, and trying to uncover some of the things that we can know about her and how she influences all of us today. So I would love for you to check that out and join our launch team. The only commitment for the launch team is to listen to the first episode, which I promise you will love. So you listen to the first episode and give us a rating and review on iTunes the first week we come out, so we can hit the ground running and get as many people knowing about and listening to a show about one of the coolest lesbians pretty much of all time, Sappho. And you can find our launch page on all of our social medias at Sweet Bitter Pod. Also, speaking about social media, if you follow me on any of my accounts, I have just made a TikTok. I am obsessed. I'm trying to keep up with the kids in these days. And I have committed myself to doing one video a day to 5,000 followers. So one a day to 5K. That's my plan. So if you can help me get there, I would really appreciate it. So follow me on TikTok. It's at Ellie Brigida. I've been just singing up a storm there. So if you like hearing me sing, I will be singing on there all the time.
In the Greater Les universe, we have some just, you know, small things that we want to talk about before we get to this, our final episode. Okay. The first one, I had to touch on this because I don't really know what's going on, and I think I'm ready for it, but who knows?
Who knows?
So I found this headline, and the headline was the 2019's wildest bee movie, The Velocipastor, which, yes, is about a priest who can turn into a dinosaur and fights crime.
Thank God.
Yeah. Is getting a sequel, and the sequel is going to be about a lesbian couple fighting Dracula in the 1880s, and it is going to be called Outback Dracula.
Is it because they own a Subaru Outback?
That was my guess. I do not know that for sure since the movie's not out yet, but I just want everyone to really start preparing themselves for this movie to exist in the world.
It's coming.
I'm sure we're going to do Essentials, right? Yeah,
we
of
have
course.
To. We have, yes. We only can pick a select few, and this has made the top of the list.
Great.
In other Les Universe news, Raven Simone has gotten gay married.
Hooray! That's so Raven.
Thank you. I'm so happy that I could set that up for you.
You're welcome.
I'm just really happy for her. Also, just currently, I don't know what it is. I have Disney Plus, so I've been like diving into That's So Raven and Raven's Home, which is, I don't want to say better than That's So Raven, but gayer than That's So Raven. So if you haven't seen it.
Which is better.
Yeah. So you should watch it. It's pretty gay. I love it.
You've tried to talk me into a should have been gay for it, so I have to catch up.
Yeah.
Okay. The last thing that we want to talk about is very, very near and dear to my heart. If anybody has not yet checked out Disclosure, which is a documentary that's on Netflix and is all about trans representation in the media and is just really, really beautifully done. It's an excellent documentary. It features so, so many of our faves and yours, I'm sure, like Laverne Cox and Jen Richards and Jamie Clayton and Leo Shang. You know, you might have heard
our
of him.
Our good friend, Leo.
Our good friend may have joined us for trivia once. So there's so many amazing people who are just really breaking down trans representation in the media, the history of it, the current state of it, what their experience of it was like growing up and currently as trans people. And it's really, really worth checking out. So cannot recommend it enough. Disclosure, find it. It's on Netflix. You will not regret it.
Check it out. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 19 of season 3, and a little sad to tell you it's our last episode of this season.
I know, but we will be back. Don't worry.
We will be back. But this, today's episode, we are excited to bring you Carry Your Gaze.
I am so excited for this. Lee and I, mostly Lee, spent about 45 minutes coming up with all the subtitles for this. So just get ready for all of the Aries that we are about to throw your way.
It's going to be a lot. Some of you will remember all the way back in season one of this here little podcast. Season one, episode 15, we did an episode on barrier gaze, which is a trope that I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with.
Has shattered our lives, you know?
Yes.
It's fine.
If you're not, you can go back and check out that episode and then, you know, hop right on back over here. What we would like to talk about today is we thought, what better way to end season three with, you know, the year that we've all been having so far than to focus on the positives? Let's talk about some of the shows that are doing way better things these days with their gay characters.
Yes. Right?
How do shows carry their gaze?
Carry them on their backs, piggybacking them to victory.
Just toting them around. They got a little satchel by the side, and you just stick your gaze in there and take them with you. Pocket gaze.
I would also like to thank Arielle, because she was the one who sort of sparked this to come back to fruition. We've been thinking about doing this episode, and she suggested something like it, and I said, oh my goodness, let's do something. Let's do this. Let's, like, actually talk about the positive things that are happening in our lives instead of putting gays in graves. So fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that.
Yeah.
So these are, you know, look, showrunners, writers, free of charge. Here are some other ideas for things that you can do with your gay characters and help your show keep your queer fandom happy and engaged and enjoying and watching your show. Just some thoughts.
Just,
you know.
Just a few ideas.
Here's They're our, on us.
Our free consultation.
But if you want to mail us a check, we can tell you where to send that. It's fine.
Yes, join our Patreon, bit.ly/Patreon.
And you will notice a theme. So should we start at the top of our list, Ellie?
Yes, let's start at the top, which is, you know, I think what we all first think about, which is the opposite of burying your gaze, which is marry your gaze.
Marry those gays.
Get those gays married. Give them a happy ending.
Everybody wants a happy ending sometimes, you know?
Yes.
I think some of you already have. I know Caitlin Alexander, they put together a whole campaign. At one point, they had shirts and everything. So some of you even have these fantastic Marry Your Gays shirts. Keep wearing those and keep putting that idea out there because, yeah, this is a huge one. I mean,
yes.
let's talk about some of the shows that have done this and why we loved it.
Yes. So I think the biggest one for me is Schitt's Creek. In their season finale, finally, we have Patrick and David married and happy and living their cute little life. And I think we just need more happiness in our shows. We've gotten so much sadness that when we finally get a happy ending, it's like, oh, warms our heart and just like makes us know that this is possible for us too. So
yeah, also, I think one of the other reasons that I like this as an alternative, besides just the happy ending, is it also, by design, it has to centralize your queer relationships, right? Like, it's really hard to kind of put your relationship to the side if you're, like, focusing on, like, here are these characters and here is their wedding, you know? Like,
yeah, no one's like, they're on the altar, but you're focusing on people in the audience.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I suppose it would be possible to do that. I'm gonna throw the Friends wedding out there as an example of that. Like,
yeah.
There was a gay wedding. The gay wedding was not the focus. But I think most of the time when it's done these days, like, the focus is on that relationship, you know? And I think that's why, like, some of the other examples that we have in here, because I'm gonna toss Wynonna Earp in the mix as a Marry Your Gays example. They haven't gotten married yet.
But
I think that, well, I think that the idea of, like, these are soulmates, you know? And, like, these are two characters who, you know, like, you're not gonna see them with other people. Like, I think that same idea applies to, like, the alternate universe, right? Where it's, like, even in an alternate universe where they have been torn apart by various circumstances, those two characters are gonna find each other and are gonna get back together. You know, like, that's the type of thing that I think we love to see it. I would throw Gentleman Jack in there as well, you know? Like, same thing, they didn't technically officially get married, but you watch them do their little, like, private, this is we know we're getting married, they take communion together and they leave the little church, and you're like, you just got married and no one else knew it, but you knew it and we knew it, and that's good enough.
Yes. And I think, like, we deserve love. We deserve love, and we should get to see it on screen. Even... Two, I will throw Runaways out there because obviously they didn't actually get married, but there was this whole dream sequence where Deonoru got married, right? It was like Carolina's dream, and you get to see inside, like, this is her biggest fantasy. It's like, just all she wants to do is get married to Nico, and there's so much other shit happening in their lives, and like, this is what she cares about the most, and I just think that's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's also, I'm going to add that as another reason that I think it's important and it's a great choice for shows, is it normalizes the idea of gay people getting married.
Yes.
And especially, like, doing it on shows, people need to see that. Like, not just adults need to see that too, but, like, teenagers need to see that. Kids need to see that. Like, people need to see, hey, if I am gay, it's totally cool, and I can fall in love, and I can get married, and I can have a wedding with all of the people who love me and care about me there celebrating that. Like, that's huge. That's so, so important to see, you know?
Yes.
Because if you think about it, like, think about how many shows, especially people like our age, how many shows we grew up watching where everybody was getting married, and but they were all straight, you know? Like, yeah. How many gay weddings did you watch on TV growing up?
I cannot think of one.
Right.
I can't think of a single one. That is...
So I'm going to say that's another, you know, keep that in mind. Like, we always say representation matters. Representation matters. Show people that this is an option, that this is, like, a natural thing that also applies to people who aren't straight. They also grow up and get married and have weddings and are happy together. That's...
Yes, I agree. I love how we have this whole section here that's like, why is this better than Bury Your Gaze? It's like, literally anything is better than Bury Your Gaze.
Like, why is it better than taking your gay character, making them completely non-important to the plot, and then killing them violently?
It's yeah, hard like to let's, say, really. Let's just try to really explain this to people. Like,
let me give you a bullet-pointed list, showrunners, as to why not killing your gays is better than killing them.
But clearly, we have to explain some of these things. But let's move on to our next, which I am obsessed with, and Lee came up with, which is Fairy Your Gaze.
And we're spelling it the fancy way with the AE here. Not that it really matters. We're just going with, like, that mythical, magical... Make your gaze magic.
Yeah, make your gaze magic. I mean, we've already gotten... We did get some magic, right, with Willow and Tara. Mm-hmm,
But also killed them.
But also, yeah, also did shitty things with them. But all of these new shows, for example, one of our favorite new shows, Motherland, is giving...
Make your gays witches, okay?
Is giving us gay witches in spades. Gay witches rolling on fairy drugs. Like, I am so for it. And this is, I know, not exactly where we're at, but I think with giving your gay characters some sort of powers... Also, like, makes us feel like we are powerful.
Oh, I love that.
Which, like, we know we are. Lee and I know we are.
We hope you all know you are.
Know you're powerful. Find your center. But really, like...
Find your gay center.
Especially Motherland. I could go on for years about this show.
Here's the thing. We all know magic is gay, right? I mean, yes. We have talked about this on so many episodes now. That, like, magic is just an underhanded way of queer coding shit in your book, in your show, in your movie. Doesn't matter what it is. You make it magic, the gays are claiming it.
Yes.
Okay? That's just a fact.
That's how
and
it goes.
And so when we get characters who are magic and who do have that power and are explicitly made gay, it's just, it makes us happy. I don't know why, it just does. We love a gay witch.
We love a gay witch. Well, because I think also, like, so many of us, I'm going to get really deep, but a lot of us feel powerless. Like, a lot of us feel like we're outcasts in society, like we don't necessarily fit in, to have a character who doesn't fit in, but like not fitting in is positive, that can reframe your narrative. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, okay, I don't fit in, but like neither does Rael, and she's a badass, right? Like she doesn't fit in here and I love her, and she owns herself and she can heal people with her freaking hands, you know?
And those braids and like everyone's
feeling
it. And
the braids and everything. We get a lot of queer-coded like villains who are magical, right? In the past, at least.
Yes.
I also want to say, like, I think we need good and bad gays. We need gays across the whole spectrum. Like, so let's get some actual good magic witches and some bad magic witches and, like, have them sleep with each other. Like, that's great.
It's like we're reclaiming, you know, like, gay is a positive thing and reclaiming witchcraft is a positive thing all at the same time.
Exactly. We're just, like, taking it all. We're taking it all.
I'm going to put runaways in this camp as well. I think they, you know, like, I mean, when you take one of your gays and you make them glow like a literal rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, no one doesn't like that.
No. And also just like in a beautiful shell of a human being. Like, that's great.
Yeah, right? Just you have two gays and one of them is a giant glowing rainbow and one of them has like a giant wand. And you're just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
This is fine.
Yeah, I'm into both of these things. I also love the power dynamic between like the dark and the light in Runaways, which is sort of the same as Motherland. Another show that we didn't really, we didn't write down here, but I just thought of. I know we're talking about magic. Let's bend it to also be superheroes.
Yes,
Farrier gays. Because now we also have Batwoman.
Yeah.
So we have like a superhero gay, right? It's all about like giving your gays power because we haven't had it before. And I love
it. If you don't have magic, you can at least have a belt full of fun tricks. That's all.
Exactly. I'm so about it.
And a really cool car. You know, just a couple things.
Yeah, just like a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, and Supergirl. She gay. Coming back to
Are
that.
We over it? We'll never be over it. We've converted Ellie is what we did.
Can you imagine if this, I'm just saying it right now, if this episode comes out and in the time since we recorded this episode and the time that we release it, Supercorp becomes canon, I will shave my head.
That is a ballsy move, because I will say we are recording this farther out than we usually record some of our episodes. The way the schedule works out with lockdown and everything, there is some time, so y'all might be getting a real fun new look for Ellie.
Supergirl writers. I love my hair, but I want Supercorp together even more. So
I'm going to secretly start a campaign starting like right now for everyone to voice their support for making Supercorp
a real thing. I mean, I think if they haven't done it already, they're not going to do it. But if they do, I'm going to be bald. So we didn't think that was coming up in this episode. But
oh, wow. We've gone places already. We're only two in, Ellie. We have so many left. So many things rhyme with so many things rhyme with Barry. Okay, up next, I would like to submit for your consideration Cherry your gaze. So
what does that mean, Lee?
What I mean is, let's take some shows like, for example, One Day at a Time or The Bold Type, where you got to see characters having the experience of maybe their first time
popping their gay cherry
in queer situations in the bedroom. That's all.
Yes.
And again, I'm gonna put this in here because I know, I mean, these do not all have to coexist. Some of them can't coexist in a lot of ways. But I think that, you know, we talk a lot about how a lot of us want to see established gay characters. We want to see gay characters who are out, who are comfortable with themselves. Every story doesn't have to be a coming out story. And it absolutely doesn't. Coming out stories are still really important. And I think first time stories are still really important. And I think honestly and truthfully approaching those storylines and letting people see their characters live through those experiences again, I think that kind of representation for younger queer people who are questioning their sexuality or, you know, realizing things about themselves that they didn't know yet. I think having something where they can see someone go through that in a positive way is just really, really important. I think like how One Day at a Time tackled some of those topics has just been handled so well, you know?
And I
love
it.
Again, like thinking back to when I was like the age of some of the kids watching the show now, like there just wasn't anything like that out there. You know, like you watched people deal with their first time,
but
it
they
was
were,
a little different.
Yeah, very different.
Well, I was a little different thing.
Talking about this episode, I just think it's like, blanket statement, we're gonna get into more stuff, but like, give us everything that straight people have always had. You have high school dramas. You also have like adults who are married dealing with their married life. You also have superheroes. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, right, we can have more stories than just the coming out story, but that doesn't mean that the coming out story isn't still an important part of like the whole queer canon.
Yeah. Right. We watch straight characters have their first time on screen. We also watch straight characters who we have never seen the first time they had
sex. Yeah, we also see straight characters who like join us when they're like 45.
Right.
And you get like right in the middle of their lives. Like, but if all we're getting is queer characters in the most tumultuous time in our lives, you're like, does it ever get like less tumultuous than that? Like, does it? And I'm like, actually, does it? No.
But you're like, write us an email, lesshangoutpod@gmail.com. Let me know.
Yeah.
Does it?
Does it get less tumultuous? But I think, too, so you have, like, those high school first times. But we've also had on screen, like, people who are older having their first times. Like, for example, in The Bold Type. I think it's so important to have different stages of coming out, too. Of not, like, everyone comes out when they're in high school. So, like, if I didn't come out in high school, guess I'm not gay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, clearly not. And you also, like, still have to deal with a lot of shit whenever that time is.
Yeah. Like, even when it's by far not your first time having sex, right? I mean, Kat was not a stranger to having sex.
Yes.
She just hadn't had sex with another woman yet. And that storyline, like, that, yeah, I agree. That was so important to see her going through that as someone who is, you know, older, she's established, like she has a life and a job and just still had this part of herself that she hadn't quite realized was there yet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really important for people to be able to see that.
I'm so excited for this next one. Our next topic is going to be scary your gays. And this, first of all, I'm just so into Killing Eve right now. Like, I cannot handle it. I don't know.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We watched the last episode, but
I did. Well, at least the last episode as of the time we're recording this. God knows where this
season's gonna
take us.
Going. But this is another thing where I feel like it's like, give us complex characters. Villanelle is a queer woman. She also kills a shit ton of people. She's a murderer. Mm-hmm. She's an assassin. And, like, we still are like, yep, but she's one of us.
Okay, but here's the thing.
We got her.
Here's why I love it, is because I get that there are some complex issues that surround making your queer character evil. I understand that. But at the same time, let's not pretend that straight people weren't freaking rooting for Dexter for like every goddamn season of that show,
yep,
even though all he did was murder people.
Okay? Yep.
So we have our own psychopathic serial killer, and we just kind of love her anyways, because she's weird and complicated and evil
and so
down
gay.
To her core in so many ways, but also so very, very gay. Oh my god. And that's just kind of fun.
I love it. Well, that's a thing. Like, it's like, give us something interesting. This is interesting. Like,
well, and make us conflicted about it, you know?
Make us actually be like, wait, should I like this? I shouldn't like this.
But I kind of do.
Do I want them to, like, go get married? But, like, they are so toxic together. I want them to kiss. Thank God they finally kissed. It was such
kiss on the bus.
Such a weird and great scene. I think, like, it is important for us to not also just be, like, completely sugar-coated. Yeah. I'm not being, like, it's like, gays can kill too. But, like, but you know what I mean? It's, like, we're everywhere. Every type of person. When you sanitize us to, like, just be what heterosexual people are comfortable with.
Yeah.
You completely, like, take the color out of our community. As I'm like, Villanelle is, like, the color of our community. But she is. She's so flamboyant. And she's unapologetically gay.
Yes.
And, like, it's not a thing.
And she's a not a paradox, but, like, it is hard to put her in just one box because they make her... The thing about it is going to be a challenge to write a character that we will still be rooting for, even when they are so intrinsically evil, right?
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's why I think people liked the show of Dexter the same way, because how do they take a show that makes you root for the serial killer,
yes, right?
And I think Killing Eve's doing the same thing. They're taking a show where you're saying, like, I should not like this character. I know that. If this character existed in real life, she would be horrifying.
Yes.
But at the same time, she's funny and she's childish and she's petty and she's jealous and she's, you know, there's so many different parts to her. It gets hard not to still get sucked into the other things, even when you know you're like, oh, but now you just killed someone again.
Yes.
Oh, like, you kidnapped a baby.
Actually, Dasha threw the baby in the trash, but, like, literally.
Yeah.
Oh my God, insane. And, like, even, like, there was this scene where Villanelle's following these two girls and you think she's going to kill them. And then you find out the next day she slept with them instead. And you're just like, I was like, yes, Villanelle, you player bitch. And I'm like, why am I, like, why am I, like, being like, oh, I wasn't even, like, that happy that the girls didn't get killed. I was, like, more happy that Villanelle got some. And I'm like, that is so twisted, but I can't stop it.
Yeah. It introduces a really nice, crunchy, gray area to your show where it's, like, it's really a show that doesn't even have a hero. Like, Eve is not a hero in that show either.
Eve is
a conflicting, complicated character. Villanelle is a complicated character. It's sort of like a show of anti-heroes. Everyone's kind of terrible. There are different levels of terrible, and there are different ways of being terrible. And some, sure, worse than others, like murdering many, many, many people.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's just, it gives us something you can really, like, sink your teeth into. And I think you can see that by how much we're obsessed with it, how much so many people are obsessed with it. So,
yes,
you know, rise to the challenge. Scare your gaze.
Scare your gaze, baby. So the next thing we want to talk about, because it is related to Killing Eve, is barely your gaze. And what we mean by that is that being gay isn't the main thing about the character. As we say, as we're like, we love lesbians and queer people. And, like, it's a huge part of me. And, like, it is still a huge part of those characters. It's just not the thing you focus on, right?
And it's not what's driving
the plot.
You know, arc of the, yeah, it's not, yeah, it's not, like, the crux of it all. And I think Villanelle and Eve, actually, I think are two very good examples of that, because I think it's why so many straight people watching the show still seem convinced that they're not gay? Question mark?
How? I can,
ow.
Okay, I can sort of understand if you think Eve is not, sort of. Villanelle is clearly, they put her out there as, like, yeah, she sleeps with women all the time.
They have not really shied away from her being attracted to women by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But what's fascinating is even, and I understand, they're getting more and more explicit with it because the pressure is climbing, the situations are ramping up. I get it. It's gonna get more explicit. But even way back in season one, when everyone watching the show was like, what do you mean you don't see the gay in here? Look at them. Look at them together. Look at any scene the two of them are in. How do you not see this?
The sexual tension is insane.
Oh my God, the tension, the just attraction simmering right there in your face. But I think it's a great example of shows where, like, the main thing that you care about isn't that she's gay.
No.
It's that she's an assassin. It's that she keeps killing people, you know? It's other facets of her. Her being queer is there. But it's, yeah, it's absolutely not the focus of the show. It's coming more into focus as the main thing seems to be narrowing down to just, you know, like her and Eve.
Yeah.
And how that has to keep progressing. I mean, you can't just keep dancing around. There's some tension there for like three seasons.
For like 10 years.
You have to go somewhere with it. But I think that how each of them independently, because they're very different from each other, how they've developed their attraction to one another, how they've exposed the reality of their sexualities and attraction to each other and stuff like that. I think that's just been done really differently than a lot of shows have.
A little bit more subtle, even though it's not subtle. Like, it's subtle, but not subtext.
Yeah.
Right?
But neither one of them has come out and said, like, in so many words, you know, I am queer or bi or pan or gay or what. I mean, they haven't said that word. We haven't had an episode that just focuses on
Villanelle,
like,
coming out to Constantine. And he's like, bitch, I know.
Can you imagine the Killing Eve very special episode?
No.
And then Constantine would just be there like, I think you're a terrible lesbian.
Love it. Eve
I
comes
think
out
no
to
woman
Carolyn.
Should date you.
Eve comes out to Carolyn and she's like, darling, we know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if Eve came out to Carolyn? That would be the best
scene. Actually, Eve comes out to Carolyn and Carolyn's like, are you asking, is it me? I'm not interested, Eve.
Here's what she would say.
I'm flattered, but I'm not interested.
Carolyn would be like, well, I rather think that was obvious. And then she'd go on about like some woman that she hooked up with in like 1983 or something.
And tell this long rambling story. And then the woman would knock on her door and she'd be like, oh, she's staying with me this weekend.
Amazing.
Yes.
I would die.
Love it.
Okay, Barely Your Gaze. Counterpoint to Barely Your Gaze. Again, I did mention some of these do not coexist in a show. Our next suggestion for your characters is Vary Your Gaze with V-E-R-Y. Make your gaze gayer.
Gayer.
Make your show
gayer.
Gayer. Put more gay stuff in your show.
That's it.
Or be more explicit with your gay.
All of the gay.
More of the gay.
More of the gay. I think this is both in quantity and quality.
Yes.
So in terms of quantity, literally just the number of queer characters on your show. We've talked about this before, but very rarely does a gay exist in a vacuum. We run in packs. The most obvious one of this, which, like, of course we knew this was going to be a lot of gays, but Generation Q. Thank God that we have just a whole show that's only gay people.
Right.
Love it. And everyone has a different relationship. Everyone has different issues they're working through with those relationships. And you can actually explore all different, like, facets of how it feels to be a queer person moving through the world.
And also your gay character then doesn't become the token gay character who has to represent all gay people. You can have variety, you can have different, you can have more, again, more complicated characters. You can make some of them have both positive and negative qualities in a way that's really hard when you have one gay person. And if you make them shitty, with the exception of Killing Eve, a lot of times you're gonna be like, why is your gay person this shitty?
Yep.
It just lets you spice it up a little bit, you know?
It's a lot of hopes for us to put into one person.
It is. And it's like, I do understand. Like, yes, we do. We get emails. I know there are people who live in, you know, places where they're not surrounded by gay people and they don't have the sense of queer community and everything. But like, so many of these shows, they're in, you know, they're set in like LA and New York and like major metropolitan cities. And I'm like, you find me the LA gay who has
no gay friends.
Like, can you imagine?
Literally insane. Well, that's the thing with, I don't think you've watched Katie Keene, right? You haven't seen it yet?
I have not.
But no. I just started watching it. And it's like, it's basically this like New York love story kind of like this girl who like is in love with New York and like she lives in New York with her friends and like it's all like bohemian and whatever. And there's like 10 gay people in it. because it's New York City.
Right.
And accurate. Like, they're actors. Like, of course it's all gay people. Like, how? And like, the main character, Katie Keene, is straight, but she's surrounded by gay people. Like, the main bar they go to is a gay bar. Like, and she's the token straight person. And it's like, you're in New York City. Like, that makes sense. That, like, when I watched the show, I was like, when I lived in New York, that was like my New York experience. And I feel like, honestly, most people's New York experience, like, not just me being a gay person, there's gay people everywhere.
Yeah.
It's New York City.
Also, I think another thing that we mean by this is, like, be more explicit with your gay, or at least treat your gay characters and relationships the same way that you treat your straight ones. Because this is something that I think a lot of us have been dealing with for a very long time in shows that we watch, right? Where, like, I'm gonna say we're gonna talk about Motherland again because we love Motherland. Because we're obsessed. It's
because
fun.
It's so freaking good.
It's so good. So here's the thing. Motherland, I think, in just, I mean, straight out the gate, right? Where they are like, okay, here's this group of girls, they're in witch
army. That's it. There's a group of
camp,
girls.
and then, like, here's two of them, like, immediately pushing each other up against a wall and, like, hardcore making out. Like,
and they showed a lot of things in that scene. It's like my sensibility, but it's like I was almost like taken aback by it because we don't get that often,
and we never get it in like the pilot
in
episode
like the
of
first
a show.
Episode,
yeah.
So I was just like, wait, she's unzipping her pants? I was like, this isn't just a makeout scene and then a blackout.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How?
They're not leaving it to the imagination.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, it's funny, and we've talked about this. We talked about it with some of our patrons in our Discord, is Motherland is on Freeform, right? And I think a lot of us remember Freeform from way back when it was ABC Family. And we were all watching Pretty Little Liars. And I think, like, that's a great example of, like, every gay person who watched that show remembers the episode where they had to watch every single straight couple have these hot, steamy, topless hookups with the sheet placed strategically in just the right place, and you're getting like multi-angle shots of, you know, like, oh, here's all this steamy passion and all this stuff, and then they cut to their gay characters in bed. I think maybe their knees might have been touching or something. I mean, it was just like nothing. I don't even think they kissed. The contrast was laughable. I mean, it was just so obvious and bad, you know, in hindsight. It just wasn't well done. And I get that it probably wasn't their fault. I'm sure the network was like a very different situation at that point in time. But comparing that with how Motherland treated Raelle and Scylla right out the gate, and then comparing that with Beltane.
Beltane was the most wild orgy I've ever seen in my life.
I could talk for hours about that. Like, just for hours, about so many choices that were made that are so small, that are just, you know, like, you blink and you miss it, that I was like, oh my god, why isn't every show like this?
It was so perfect.
It was so perfect.
And literally, like, Abigail just, like, taking control of her sexuality and, like, having these two men with her, and then she's like, now you make out. And I was like, what is happening? Why have we never been able to see this on TV before? And why am I so happy that it's happening now?
I was...
Lost it.
I just... My mouth, like, jaw dropped. I was just like, I am so here for this. I can't even stand it right now. Everything about it. Raelle showing up in that suit.
Yes.
The dance. And I loved, like, if you watch in the dance, like, they very, very clearly... Like, Raelle is not the only one who's dancing...
With women.
And ends up with, like, a girl partner. Like, there's other pairings in the background of dudes together and girls together, and I just, oh my god, I was like, what is happening, and why have I never felt this just sheer joy at, like, the absolute just A, sex positive, and B, like, queer positive, just hot nonsense witch orgy happening on my screen.
it's so good.
And it was the best.
So gay. And it makes me so happy.
Yes, and that's what we want. We want things that are very gay. I'm also, I have to talk about it because I am obsessed and I'm still never going to be over it. Sense8. I'm just going to say, like, same thing. It is not for the faint of heart. If you do not want to see very explicit gay sex scenes, not the show for you. But if you do, boy, is it fun when you have that show that you can go out and find.
Yes.
It is, and you know, it's. I think it's similar to like some of the experience of Beltane, where you're just like, here's a giant group queer orgy, and like, yeah, I'm here for it.
Why I'm not? About it.
I'm yeah. about it.
I'm about it.
So there
it.
You go. Give us very, very gay
very,
stuff.
Very, very gay stuff. I also want to talk about Hentified super quickly, because like from the first episode, they had like queer sex, queer characters, and it was just like, okay, this is one of the main characters, and like she's a lesbian and she has a queer like partner. And that was just like, the one of the first things you see, her girlfriend is in most episodes. And yeah, it's just like gay, gay, gay from the get-go. I love it. Our next is, which I'm very excited is, non-binary, you're gay.
I love this. I love this so much because this is a big one. And this is one where we do have fewer examples of it, obviously, but there's not none. And that's something yes. that we think is great. So yes. Let's start. Can I start with One Day at a Time?
Oh, yes.
I think this is a great example of like there's not a lot of shows that have non-binary characters even in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think having non-binary characters and then having non-binary characters who are specifically playing queer roles. I think One Day at a Time is a great example of this where Elena realizes that she's attracted to women, like comes out as a queer character. We do her whole coming out story, and she ends up dating a non-binary character. And I think the way that they handled that, the way that they, you know, dived into like, what does it mean for Elena to come out as a lesbian and then date Sid, and how do their identities align? Like, what do those, how does that play together? What do you call each other? Like, just all of these topics that, again, I think people need to see this. People, A, need to see that non-binary people exist.
Yes.
And are real. And yes. are in your lives, probably, whether you know it or not. I mean, our listener base, you know.
Yes.
But they're there. And we, as a community, and we as a greater society, I think, owe it to all of them to be more educated and have more representation and just, you know, really have the same, again, the same level of they need to see themselves on screen too, you
yes.
know? So yeah, please, please, please. Let's talk about some more.
I think too, like the more non-binary characters we have, the more we can have the same stuff, which is like not tokenizing them. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, your only role on this show is to show that non-binary people exist. Like
right.
you can also have like a fully formed character and human being who is non-binary. And of course, a lot of their gender expression is gonna play into some of their life. But, like, you can have other stories. So I want to talk about Zoe's Infinite Playlist. There is one of the main characters on Zoe's Infinite Playlist is non-binary, gender fluid, uses he and she pronouns, depending on the day, which I also just love, because I think that also just, like, illustrates to a wider audience that, like, there can be a spectrum. People have such a hard time with the word they, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're like, oh, well, sometimes I feel like he and sometimes I feel like she. A mainstream audience is like, yes, I understand that because that makes sense grammatically. And you're like, you're right. idiots. But you know what I'm saying?
But it's also, I like that we have examples for the two examples of non-binary characters that we put up here that are two very different ways that people can be non-binary.
Yes.
Which are different from each other and which are both still real and valid. And that's great. I think, you know, some non-binary people use they, some don't.
Yes.
Some non-binary people still only prefer one set of gendered pronouns. Some like both. Some like any. Some have specific feelings like day to day. All of that is going to be different. And I think exactly the more non-binary characters that we get on screen, the more you'll start to see all of those different possibilities and the more people start to understand what it can mean and all of the different things that it can mean.
Yes. And also, like, he gets this whole storyline where you get to see more of, like, his life. Like, from the beginning of Zoe's Infinite Playlist, it seemed like maybe he was going to be, like, a sidekick kind of character, mm-hmm. which was, like, he's, like, this, like, sassy, like, character to add, like, sprinkles of color everywhere. And then I was so happy, like, that episode where they really gave him, like, time to dig into, he's having all these issues with his religion and reconciling, like, his authentic self, and he ends up, like, singing this beautiful song, like, he presents as a male when he goes to church because he feels uncomfortable. And then at the end, he like wears a dress and like does his makeup and puts crazy hair on and like sings this gorgeous song, and everyone in the church is affirming him. And I think like those two intersectional identities like don't get explored that much either. And so it was like very, I love the show. If anyone has not seen it, watch it, because it has a lot of layers, like an onion. That's all.
And like Ellie with those accents.
I know. How many accents have I whipped out today? Wait, really only lot. British, even though I was trying to be Scottish right there.
This is, we're closing it out. So our last one, our last suggestion is another Vary Your Gaze, but this time it's V-A-R-Y. And what we mean by this is gay people, fun fact, can also be people of color. Queers are not all white, TV, is what we're saying.
Queers are not all white. Queers are not all butch. Queers are not all femme. Queers are not all. There has been a significant lack of QPOC representation on TV. However, there are some shows that are doing it well. One of our favorites, The Bold Type.
Mm-hmm. And The Bold Type I love also because it's a big one too that I see people comment on all the time, is that especially interracial relationships tend to focus exclusively on some person of color.
And a white person.
Right. And you can have interracial relationships that don't involve a white person. And I love The Bold Type for doing this. And I think, you know, a lot of people appreciated seeing a relationship between two queer women of color with different backgrounds and ethnicities. And that, like, that's, I think, really important. Same thing with Black Lightning, you know? I mean, that's one that I think gets talked about a lot less and is, again, very important and presenting a lot of representation in terms of, here are queer characters. They are not white. They yes. are still dating.
Yes.
That I know the show itself, I think there's been some people feeling like they're sidelining that storyline a little bit, but I think in terms of, you know, championing shows that are really given like that level of representation, you can't leave it off that list.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's the same with Hentified. Like, the two characters are both women of color, but from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Media in general just tokenizes minorities. So like the same way that like queer people are tokenized, it's like, okay, well, we have one queer person, so like we need to also find a queer person of color to date them. And like, it's like almost like, okay, well, we checked off the box, and so now they don't matter, right? And right. that's like so not, obviously not what they should be doing.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think One Day at a Time, also both great examples of having Hispanic characters who are also queer women. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I know also, you know, I think both Stephanie Beatriz and Melissa Fumero have both talked about the audition process and what it felt like to have two Hispanic actresses cast as you know, like main characters on the same show.
Yeah.
How rare that was, and how, you know, I think Stephanie Beatriz was saying she knew Melissa Fumero had been cast when she auditioned, and she was like, well, so there's no way I'm going to be on this show. Like, they already have one Hispanic woman, so.
So I'm like, they already checked the box. So
I'm immediately. Out. So I think having, you know, having that experience and then doubling down on saying like, let's also take Rosa's character and not just make her bi, make her like explicitly say it out loud, you know, which again is just something you don't get a lot on TV. So yeah, I mean, I think things like that are really meaningful, again, to people who really lack and crave the representation yes. of themselves, you know? Let's toss Generation Q in there again, too, because I think same thing. As soon as you have the opportunity to cast multiple gay characters in your show,
yeah,
like, those gay characters can look different from each other.
Yes, please. I know, which, thank God, because the L Word did not do a good job on that. And
not the best job the original round, no, but I think, you know, they have improved.
Yes, they for sure have improved in Generation Q. Also, I would love to mention, in terms of varying representation, I personally love Pose, and that is just like such great rep for Black trans rep, to have a show where the majority of your actors are Black and trans, and it's an amazing show. Is so important. So I don't see why we couldn't have more shows like that.
And you can hear so much more about that in Disclosure documentary on Netflix. Just a thought. Check it out.
Yes. Speaking of varying your gaze, you don't just have to vary your gaze on screen. It's also very, very important to vary your gaze behind the scenes as well, especially in the writer's room.
Yeah, it's something that we really want to highlight given the news that came out about how Killing Eve has no Asian writers. That, you know, it's not just important to have diversity in front of the camera, you also want that reflected in the rest of your staff, in your showrunners, in your producers, in your writers, all of those things. That's something that's also very important. And also to remember, I think I just saw someone tweeting like today or yesterday, a reminder, like Black people can also write white characters or other characters. You don't only have to hire like Black writers or POC writers if you have that rep on your show. I mean, you should absolutely in that case, but you know, it's not a requirement for them to be included in writers' rooms. So yes, that's something else to mention.
I think it's also important to talk about varying your gaze in terms of like relationship styles, because as a community, a lot of us are not monogamous. Like a pretty significant amount compared, I think, to the general population. I know like a lot of us are monogamous, but what I loved about Schitt's Creek is that David and Patrick still have their happy ending. They get married. It's clear, like, that's their partner. But, like, sexually, they don't necessarily have to do that. And, like, because it's Schitt's Creek, it's, like, it's obviously, like, all in a joke and stuff like that. But still, like, there's a part where they, like, debate having a threesome with Jake, right? And they're, like, talking about it in an open way about their sexuality. Like, and like, that's another way that I think, like, stereotypically gay men have been a bit like sanitized or hypersexualized on television,
right? Or shamed or stigmatized,
yes,
you know,
like for their like sexual choices. But in Schitt's Creek, it's like, okay, well, this is a part of the gay community, like this is my partner, but like maybe sexually they don't need to be the only one. And even, I know you haven't seen the Schitt's Creek finale, I'm sorry Lee, but
it's okay, you can ruin it for me,
but even on their wedding day, Patrick gets David a massage and he pays to get David the massage. And then there's a whole mishap where the masseuse gives David a happy ending. And on their wedding day, he literally gets a happy ending. And he thought that Patrick had paid for it for him. Like he literally was like, oh, thank you so much for that. And it's ridiculous. But it also, like, I loved it because I was like, you know, this happened. It's their wedding day. Like, I feel like in a conventional relationship, people would be like, you cheated on me on my wedding, on our wedding day, blah, blah, blah. But because they're like, they might not have had these conversations on screen, but you can tell like off screen, they've had a lot of conversations about like the fluidity of both of their sexualities. Like maybe like David's the first man Patrick's ever been with. Like maybe there's some conversations about that. But I just think there's like a lot to be said about different types of relationships and different like types of relationship between queer people on TV.
So there you have it, everyone. Just a few thoughts off the top of our heads.
Just
about,
a few.
Just a couple things that you could do to, write better gay characters.
Give us the gay. Give us the gay. All right. I think it's time for our Q and gays.
Q. 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 And. Gay.
It's always time. I can't believe we're going to go so long without some Q and gays for a bit. Okay.
I'm sad. Maybe we'll just throw some up on our Twitter just for shits and gigs over the summer.
Okay. I mean, fine.
I'm like,
if
maybe
we
will. Lee will. All right. Let's get into this.
Okay. Question one, Ellie. How would you prefer to marry your gay? A big wedding or a secret private ceremony?
Big wedding. I want a party. I want all my friends and family there. I have no money, but no expense will be spared.
You're not a person who does a lot of things in secret.
No. No. It'll be all over social media. Sorry. Everyone needs to know. Number two, who are you rooting for more, Eve or Villanelle?
Oh, this is a hard question. I'm rooting for Villanelle to continue growing as a character. I'm rooting for Villanelle. Let's be real.
You're rooting for Villanelle.
I'm rooting for Villanelle.
Eve has sucked lately. I'm like Eve sucks, and she's literally only murdered one person.
Eve is terrible in some of her own different ways that don't involve a lot of murder.
Yeah.
But don't necessarily redeem her entirely. So no. I don't know. Question three, Ellie. Do you prefer very gays or barely gays in your shows?
I'm about the very gays. We know this. I mean, I'll take a barely gay as long as it's like done well and I still know they're gay. But I would much prefer very gays. Like,
we want all the gay shit as gay as it can be.
Hit me in the face.
I don't think that's a secret about the two of us.
Please, please. All right, next question. Lee, when was your gay cherried? A, high school. B, college. C, after college. Or D, still waiting to be cherried?
The problem with this question is, you know, as soon as we do this, Ellie's going to start pushing for us to do like a first time episode.
Yes.
No. The answer is A, high school. And that's the story. That's it.
Lee. Let's talk about
it. My parents listen to this podcast, Ellie.
All right. Finally.
Question five. At Fort Salem, what would your specialty be? A, necro. B, blaster. C, fixer. Or D, biddy.
I would be a biddy.
I love the biddies so much.
I love the biddies. It would be my great honor to be a biddy. Except, no, I would hate being a biddy because I do not want to look old. So I would actually, in real life, probably be a fixer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biddies people are like one of my favorite things in the show, though, especially because it's my favorite thing. Anytime General Alder tries to storm out of a room, and I'm like, it's really hard to storm out of a room when like eight old ladies have to walk out after you. She's
like, come on, get in, girls. We're going shopping.
Clicking their little tongues. I think they're great.
They're creepy.
But okay,
as
fixer's a fine choice as well.
Yep. Remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Skew and Gay questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod. If you're looking for another show to listen to while we're on hiatus, we're promoting Bloodlust during this episode, which is an episode all about horror movies if you're a horror fanatic, and their teaser is coming up now.
Hey there, listener. Do you ever feel isolated at work or with family because you're different? Do strangers see you as unwholesome or possibly even evil? We understand, because like you, we've experienced the pain of being judged simply because we're women who love horror movies. Since 2014, the Bloodlust podcast has been discussing every type of horror movie, from big-budget Blumhouse releases to foreign art house cannibal movies. The three women of the Bloodlust watch them all and tell you which ones you shouldn't miss. We even have a guy on hand in case we have questions like, could a 115-pound woman really load a crossbow? Or, how long would it take to vertically bisect a person? Both actual questions asked on the show, by the way. So let the Bloodlust be your go-to podcast for classy broads and a token dude talking horror. We see you out there, ladies. Let's get weird together. That's the Bloodlust on iTunes and everywhere else.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 yeah.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. So we just want to shout out some of our favorite things every episode, and especially this episode because we won't get a chance to for a while. But know that we love you if you reach out to us on hiatus, even if we don't get to say your name every week. We would like to start by shouting out Clara and or Clara. It didn't specify the pronunciation, so I'm so sorry, Clara, if I'm saying it wrong. But wrote us a huge email about how much she enjoys the podcast and just a lot of stuff about her life and her coming out journey so far and, you know, being home and worrying about family, knowing and things like that. And so we just wanted to say thank you so much for writing us. We have heard from so many people, especially through quarantine right now, who are just, you know, home with their families, and either their families don't know and that's stressful, or they do know and it's still stressful. And so we just wanted to say, you know, like, we certainly love hearing those stories, but it also, we know how hard this time can be for so many of you. And so we're glad that you can find some joy in the podcast, and we promise we'll be back with new episodes soon.
We also would like to give a shout out to Faith, who messaged us on Facebook about Almost Adults, which is a great movie with Natasha and Elise from Carmilla, but they said that it should have been gayer, which we're always for a should have been gayer. So thank you for your suggestion. And I agree, it's very hard to see Natasha and Elise as just friends when they have so much chemistry.
And especially if you've watched all of Carmilla and you just, you know, you just want to see it. Yeah. And they set that up. I agree. We'll talk about the movie. It's on our list as a Les Centrals. I'm sure we'll get to it. Because we do have a lengthy list right now. But I can see the ship you were going for. We all can, Faith.
We're
right there with you.
We'd also like to thank our lesbian Jesus patrons, Tanya Ferguson,
Jess Klaus,
Danny Griswold,
Sarah and Julia,
Carrie Ann Lawrence,
Mark Foster,
Danny Gunluck Tamora,
Alana Rosen,
Kayla Kelly,
Tara Gleason,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
and our King Princess patrons, Lizette Stye,
Amy and Ellen,
Leah Hendley,
and Liz Chen.
For the last time this season, our sponsorship at Patreon, Wendy K. Bartlett, reminding you to support your local artists, especially queer artists.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Les Hangout Pod.
You can send us an email at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Make sure that you subscribe on whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts, and that way you'll get our new episodes next season as soon as they're ready.
Our new season will be coming out in September, so just subscribe and then keep an eye on your phone in September. Just a hint. We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
If you want to help support the podcast, the easiest way to do that is to go on the Apple Podcasts app and leave us a rating and a review. It A, is fun for us to read them, and B, helps new people find the podcast.
If you want to join our Patreon, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. I will say that our Patreon is the best way to ensure that you still get some Ellie and Lee over the summer. Because yes. Lee and I both were talking to our patrons for probably like 2 or 3 hours, would you say?
On the Discord. Our Discord chat was hopping today, let's be real.
Yeah, the Discord was out of control. We've been setting up some D&D. We're trying to put together a Discord group where we share pictures and we share positive support. It's been a really big lifeline for, honestly, me and like...
I love it. I love our patrons. I love everyone so much. There.
It's been such a lifeline during all the corona stuff. So if you want to join us there, you can do it for as little as $1 and hang out with us all summer long at bit.ly/lespatreon.
No pressure, but like you should do it.
You should do it.
We also have merch. You can find all of our designs and get them on tees, on tanks, on totes, on mugs, on masks, on all sorts of good stuff. And you can find all that at bit.ly/lesshop.
If you want to find us individually, you can find me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at LSH Foster.
With that, for the final time this season, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.